It's September, and all other anniversaries aside, that means the birthday season of the genius Antonín Dvořák. Had the Czech musical maestro lived to his deserved age, he would be 170 years old this month, and music lovers and ologists are marking the occasion with all due enthusiasm. Alongside the Dvořák festivals and radio tributes this month, there is also the uniquely interesting interactive Dvořák exhibition at the Czech Museum of Music, which is our destination in this week's Spotlight.
My name is Eva Velická. I'm the chief curator of Antonín Dvořák Museum and also the curator of this new Dvořák exhibition at the Czech Museum of Music. We organize this exhibition to mark the 170th anniversary of composer's birth. And why we decided to do it. Our museum owns the largest collection of Dvořák documents in the world. So really, we have a lot of things to show, but we wanted to show also other things, not only documents or scores, because it could be a little bit boring for people who do not know notes. So we try to connect showing of these documents with also presenting a life story of Dvořák, and we try to connect it with a modern design and graphic conception.
Well, there's a lot of things in the Czech Republic that we can see from Dvořák's life. We can go to his home in Nela Hozaves, and there's a Dvořák museum also in Prague dedicated specifically to Antonín Dvořák. So what can we see of particular interest here?
Yeah, because both of these buildings you mentioned belongs also to the National Museum, Czech Museum of Music. But I can tell you that you cannot find originals over there because it's not safe enough. And we have also not original documents from this period when Dvořák was there, for example, from the time when he was born in Nela Hozaves. And these precious documents cannot be shown everywhere. So here at the Czech Museum Music, it's safe enough to expose it, to show the documents. And these documents, they are here like an original autograph of the New World Symphony or autograph of Slavonic dances or some precious documents of Rusalka. They are normally closed in the depository rooms, and they are normally not shown to the public. So they were exceptionally brought here and shown to the public, some of them really for the first time.
So can we take a look?
Yeah, of course. You can even touch Dvořák, you can feel him.
Oh, really? There's a wall here, and there's a picture of Dvořák, and there's a hole in the wall with a kind of like velvet sock, and I can put my hand in it and just feel around what's inside. I feel yeah. Someone's face.
And here, what was typical of Dvořák face? A huge white forehead, rather dark skin, bushy eyebrows.
Okay, so I feel the bushy eyebrows in my hand right now. This is very interesting. Who thought of this?
Me.
This is your idea.
Yeah, because I prepared also some things for the theater, and these are really theater projects and preparing of things. Uh-huh. And here you can touch his hand, which was quite small, so I was surprised.
Oh, how do we know exactly how small his hand was?
It was made after his death. These hands. Ah. I'm sorry, so perhaps it's not so comfortable to touch his hand. Yeah, posthumous.
Yes, it is a small hand indeed.
Yeah, but he was quite tall, so you can have a look here.
Oh, we can even see.
178 centimeters. At this time, when Dvořák was alive, it was quite a lot. And here we have also DNA analysis.
A DNA analysis of Antonín Dvořák. So what did that show?
Well, very interesting thing that Dvořák or his chromosome comes from Middle East or from the region where we today have Caucasus or Pakistan.
So he had something of a Georgian or a Dagestani in him.
Yes, perhaps. So you can hear watch, for example, his sister or father of Dvořák really quite untypical faces, quite dark skin, really deep eyes. So
very prominent eyes, I've always noticed.
Not very typical.
But do we know anything about the longer history of his family?
Yes, but it's a quite...
They were Czechs.
Yeah, they were Czechs. It's a quite long story, but they were from places near from Nelahozeves, where Tak was born, and it was really Czech family. And if you compare it to Smetana family, they spoke mostly in German, and Smetana learned Czech later, and we can find it also in his letter. He made a lot of mistakes, but the Dvořáky case was different. They spoke just Czech, and he had to learn German in school a little bit later. So really he was a Czech composer from the beginning, and later on he had also a lot of invitations from Vienna, from Berlin, but again, he decided to be a Czech composer, and all the time he insisted on writing his name like Antonín, not Anton, because it was a German version and he didn't like it. Mm.
I'd like to ask you about this. You have in the wall here of the exhibition, you have a train window, an old-style train window. Dvořák loved trains.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if we go to Nelahozeves, we can see that he lived only just maybe 20, 25 or 50 meters away from the train tracks.
Yeah, that's right. We have a picture here. It's the church where Dvořák, he was baptized here in this church. It's really just on the train, and behind this church there is a birthhouse of Dvořák. And when he was 10, 12 years old, they built this railway over there, so he saw how they were building it, and it is said that there were also a lot of workers from Italy, and they sang arias from Nabucco and other operas from Verdi. So one Czech-American musicologist think that it was also the first time when Dvořák met Verdi and Italian music.
There's a legend that one of the humoresques was actually written according to the thumping of the steady rhythm of the train on the tracks. Is that true?
Yes, you can hear humoresque number 7 here also on display when we are talking about train. But unfortunately, we didn't find any documents which would prove this theory. So it is said that this rhythm is inspired by the train, but we have no proofs. And there is just one document which shows us that Dvořák was definitely inspired by trains, and it was the Seventh Symphony. We can find on the score of the Seventh Symphony that this idea came to him in the train while he was coming to Budapest. Place to relax, and here the water vibrates through the Dvořák music of Rusalka.
Oh, how interesting. So there's like a drum here where the top of it is just water, and inside, under the water, there's a speaker that's playing Rusalka. Yes.
But just the low frequency so that we cannot hear it, but we can see it.
So we can actually watch Rusalka, watch the music. Amazing. Can I ask, what is your personal interest in Dvořák? I understand you're a musicologist.
Yeah.
But why Dvořák in particular?
So really I preferred contemporary music, and I liked all the time the music of 20th or now 21st century. But when I came to the museum 2 years ago and I became chief curator of the Dvořák Museum, I found a lot of points that actually also resemble contemporary music. It's really very exciting, and it's not boring thing. you can all the time find something very exciting and something very new. And I try to present Votak as a really great name, which still can bring an inspiration, because Votak is still alive.
And this is an exhibition of his personal life as well as his work life. What would you like people to take away from it? Maybe people who already love his music, but have much more to learn about him as a person.
That he was not boring person, even the person from the 19th century, and that he was absolutely original in everything what he wrote and he did. He was, we know it very well, that he was strongly religious Catholic, and perhaps he didn't like ceremonies or big audience, and really he liked more to be somewhere in the pub with his friends from the village. But on the other hand, he was very hardworking, and really he wanted to be successful. So it's all the time, it's quite important to see both these aspects of Dvořák.
Fascinating that you were able to take an exhibition about a person who died more than 100 years ago and make it so very interactive. You must have put in a tremendous amount of time into just sitting around thinking up new ideas.
Yeah, thank you. We did. It took us, I would say, 10 months to prepare the exhibition, and a very important part of the preparing was the cooperation with architect, with two set designers, and also graphics. So I think you can see it here at the exhibition, that it's a work of several people from different eras.
But in only 5 years there will be the 175th anniversary of the birth of Dvořák, and will you be able to outdo yourself?
I think we are going to celebrate kind of Czech music year or something like that, because it's going to be an anniversary of more composers, not only Dvořák. So perhaps we will try to present all of these big names all together. But I don't know how we will do it, but we have some plans.
You have time.
Yeah, time also.
Eva Velická, curator of the Antonín Dvořák Museum, ending a report by Christian Falvey there. Thanks for that, Christian.